And welcome in. It's the Doug Russell Podcast, Black Monday edition. Although this year's Black Monday wasn't necessarily that dark. Today, of course, the traditional day for NFL coaches to get fired all over the league. Many of them already walked the plank, three of them during the season. Bill O'Brien got it after four games in Houston. Matt Patricia after that disaster on Thanksgiving in Detroit. And Dan Quinn also got it earlier this season in Atlanta. Sunday, the Jets put their fans out of their misery with the firing of Adam Gase. On Monday, two more. Anthony Lynn got his Chargers pink slip. Doug Marrone got his with the Jacksonville Jaguars. And despite tanking Sunday as his Eagles were playing Washington, I know everyone in New York is upset, but your team is 6-10, so I'm not going to sweat it too much. My note to the Giants, if they are upset, don't go 6-10. Pretty simple. But former Packers backup quarterback Doug Peterson looks like he's going to keep his job in Philadelphia. That's what winning a Super Bowl a couple of years ago can do. As for the Packers, they did what they needed to do, taking care of the Bears in Chicago.
And the Packers have won the toss. They have deferred. And here we go from Soldier Field in Chicago. Cordarrelle Patterson slips and falls down. Oh, my goodness. And that is down at the one-yard line. Now, let's see if he got out of bounds. Let's see.
That's almost simultaneous.
It really is.
After review, the ruling on the field stands as called.
And a second and goal for Green Bay. Fake to Jones. Rodgers looking around, firing. End zone caught for the touchdown. It's Tonyan. His 11th of the year. Bears coming with the blitz. Rodgers sees it, floats it down the middle. It is caught. Valdez-Scantling going to go all the way. Touchdown, Green Bay. 72 yards. Time for Rodgers. Fires and is caught for the touchdown by Daphne.
I mean, they just completely drop Dominique Daphne in coverage.
First and goal. Jones sneaking up the middle and in. Touchdown, Green Bay. Trubisky loads up and intercepted by Amos. Adrian Amos looking for blocks. Has a couple inside the 30. And first and goal over the middle. Caught for the touchdown by Adams. So many more all year with our great Fox crew is getting it to Jimmy Graham. And they say he did not get there. They run the clock, and that will do it.
Something satisfying about keeping Jimmy Graham out of the end zone on that last play of the game. Final score 35-16. The Packers end their season 13-3. The Bears end their season 8-8. Of course, the Packers clinching the top seed in the NFC and home field advantage throughout the NFC playoffs. Hopefully that lasts two games instead of one. The last time the Packers had home field advantage throughout the playoffs didn't last very long. They got bounced in the divisional round to the New York Giants, who wound up winning the Super Bowl that year. The Packers went 15-1. As for the game on Sunday, the numbers overall, fairly pedestrian, at least on offense. Aaron Rodgers, 19 of 24, 240 yards, four touchdowns, which was great. No interceptions, which was great. A quarterback rating of 147.9. That was great. Could have been five touchdown passes. You don't know what they would have done had MVS held on to that one that he dropped, the highlight you just heard a few minutes ago. But, Aaron Jones, kind of a pedestrian day. 11 carries for 42 yards. Jamal Williams, five carries. A.J. Dillon, after that monster game against the Titans the week prior, one carry for 3 yards. So, again, the Packers, as far as time of possession, they held the ball for more than 10 minutes less than the Chicago Bears on Sunday. So they didn't even run that many plays. Again, they only attempted 19 runs and 24 passes. So if you add that up, that's only 43 plays through the course of the entire game. Here's Aaron Rodgers after it was over.
It's important. You know, we know the weather is an issue always in these months. So we'll definitely be hoping for some cold, frigid temperatures in a couple weeks.
Jason Wilde.
Hey, Aaron. You don't throw an incompletion and then MVS drops that deep ball. Then you guys go punt, and it's 21-16. and then you guys embark on that long drive. Can you kind of take us through the emotions of, you know, that could have been an early dagger to they're getting back into it, and then you answer with the back-to-back touchdowns and kind of win it going away?
Well, I don't know if it would have been a classic Wayne Larrabee, there's your dagger situation. A little too early for even Wayno to make that call, but that was definitely, you know, real good scheme there, and we had a chance. You know, MBS didn't come up with it, but he made a nice play earlier in the game. Just, you know, we just need a little more consistency from him. I mean, he's the most bomb person in the entire field, I'm sure, after that one. But, yeah, we were really efficient the first half, three drives, three scores. And then still a disjointed game. You know, he had the ball for a ton of time. We were sitting on the sidelines for, you know, a good portion of that game, it felt like. But big stop there in the early fourth, and we got the ball. And, you know, we kind of spoke into existence, and here's where we put the game away. It was a methodical drive. You know, we converted third downs. Guys made some plays. It wasn't splash plays. It was, you know, five here, seven there, eight there. You know, hit a couple keepers. But it was a really special drive for us, and to be able to put it away there in the four-yard line. As we've been so good in the red zone all season. That was great. Then Smash gets a pick, and we're back in red zone and got a chance to really put it away. And it's fun to get Devontae that touchdown.
Pete Doherty.
Hey, Aaron. Are there any pitfalls to being the number one seed? I just think back to 11 and what happened that season, and I'm wondering if there are any lessons from that playoff season.
Yeah, I think for me, maybe, Pete. I think for so many – guys here, that it's just, it's new territory. It's a different league. Obviously there's only one bye. We played in this game, so many, all of us played, you know, in 11, I sat out, and Maddie went out and put on a show. You know, we had some guys who didn't play in that game. So, you know, it's nice to be able to go in playing. I think we need the bye. You know, we need a couple guys to get healthy. We're a little banged up. And then obviously the weather is a big factor, a big helper for us in Green Bay. So I'm not worried about any rust or anything. We've been real solid all season in situational football, and we were again today on third down in red zone. So I like our chances moving forward.
Andy Herman.
Hey, Aaron, going back to April when Jordan was selected, you were really transparent and stated that the pick maybe changed the controllables a bit, and that while it was your desire to stay in Green Bay, maybe that idea was no longer a reality. Fast forward to today, Devontae said you've locked up the MVP, the team's 13-3, you've wrapped up the number one seed. Just basically, do you feel any different now than you did in April, and do you feel like you've regained any control of finishing your career as a Packer?
No, I don't feel any different. I don't think... Situation hasn't changed. I'm really happy with the way that I've played and our team has played this year. But there's, you know, factors out of my control that just kind of are what they are. You know, it's probably a little different conversation sitting here with the season I had, regular season I had, compared to, you know, if it'd been maybe the numbers that I had last year. So, but I'm not really worried about that at this point. And nothing, Andy, I don't think has changed.
Rob Domofsky.
Aaron, I realize that this isn't the time for reflection and you'll do that later on. But I mean, when you look at the numbers and the season you had, the numbers in the season that Devontae had, can you just put it into perspective a little bit on just how special, you know, those seasons individually were?
Yeah. I mean, I'll tell you what I told Tay in the locker room. I said 13 and a half games. And you just had the greatest season of a Packer receiver in history. And I meant it, and it got me emotional. It gets me emotional in this moment. I just have a ton of respect and appreciation for him and what he's accomplished. It's been an unbelievable year. He's just such a special, special player. I think today was fun. The team, that their entire focus was taking Devontae out of the game. You know, even with a premier corner and Kyle, there was help on his side almost every single play, especially after the fourth down. We had the pass interference for him to, you know, be the best decoy for a good portion of the game in the NFL, and for guys like MVS to have a big touchdown and Bobby setting, you know, tying the team record. And Dominique Daphne. Who would have called that one, Rob? Not you and not me. You know, back in September. That's the beauty in this game. And you can always ask reflective questions to me, Rob. I enjoy being reflective. This is a special season. This will always be a special season for me. It's been a special year as well. I don't like to harp on it a whole lot. I know I've talked probably too much about my mental state and what I've been working on personally. It's been such a difficult time for so many people. You and I, Rob, spoke the other day. You know, I have such a understanding and an appreciation for how difficult it's been on so many people. I've really just tried to have a good perspective, an attitude of gratitude, and just to really enjoy every moment of this season. And that's why, you know, although it might not have been the most fun just because I missed the fans, it was maybe the most special regular season.
Nice. Chancellor Johnson.
Hey, Aaron, when you think about all the chatter surrounding you and the team over the offseason and the unusual season that this year was to have the team in the position that you guys are in today, what comes to mind for you?
I think I hearken back to a comment I made to my friend Michelle Tafoya about a little over 8 years ago. She asked me a closing question on Sunday Night Football. That's kind of what comes to mind. Idle chatter like that doesn't have a space in my brain. I'm not sure about everybody else. I can't speak for them, but seems to have gotten a little quiet around some of those topics that people wanted to make such a big deal about.
Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers, his favorite target, Devontae Adams, a whale of a season, a team record season as far as touchdown receptions, 18, second in the NFL, 115 receptions, that's third in the NFL, is also tied for fifth in yards.
Feels good, man, feels good. You know, I would have been happy regardless, just getting this bye, being able to move into here, having everything go through Lambeau, move out of this place and just get back and have a week's rest. But, you know, it definitely feels good. It's putting a lot of hard work and, you know, I've come up short of a few different things in my career. So it feels good to be able to achieve that.
Aaron Nagler.
Devontae, first of all, congrats on the receptions record. Never thought that would be broken after watching every single thing Sterling ever did in that building. Second of all, was there a point in this game, obviously six targets, six receptions, was there a point where you said on the sideline, get me the ball? Because it didn't seem like you were involved early, but then all of a sudden it was like, okay, we're going to feed Devontae.
Yeah, well, honestly, I was, you know, just for the mojo of the team, you know, I wanted to stay as positive about things, but it gets frustrating just because, you know, all I care about is the offense doing well. So if we, you know, first half we're moving the ball well, scoring, doing what we got to do, it doesn't really matter. But when we hit a stalemate and we're not really productive the way that we should be or the way we can be, that's when it starts to get, you know, a little frustrating. But it is what it is. I feel like I got trust in our coaches and the rest of our team to go out and take care of business as well. So just try not to panic in situations like that, especially with everything that we had on the line. We just want to make sure we stayed as calm as possible and just trusted it. But it was definitely a conversation that was had, but it was initiated by the coaches just to make sure that they made a conscious effort to get me involved. And, you know, from there, I just had to make sure I made plays, and I tried to do that on, you know, those last two drives.
Wes Hodgkowitz.
Monte, kind of following up on that, to get that 12-play, 76-yard drive to start the fourth there, just how pivotal was that and how good did that feel to kind of get back into a rhythm there when you needed a response?
It felt good, man, because those are the really tough ones. Obviously, we can, you know, we've done it a bunch of times, but when you hit a kind of like a dry spot and you can't really get anything going, you know, sometimes you can bounce back with a five-play, you know, 60-yard drive where you have a couple explosives, but when you have to just kind of, you know, they play a lot of too high today. Obviously, you see a lot of coverage toward me to make sure that they took me out of the game as much as possible. You know, which we can't use as an excuse because there's still ways to be able to get me the ball. And, you know, I can still get open when they do that. But, yeah, it's tough, you know, when you hit one of those spots because it kills your momentum and it's tough to find a rhythm. But I feel like everybody just kind of kept their head down and stay focused and made sure that they, you know, didn't panic, like I said, and we came out on top.
Bill Huber.
Kind of along those lines, Devontae, it seemed like it was a little bit like the Indy game where, you know, the Colts hogged the ball for all that time. It was hard to get going. So what does it say about you guys tonight where the Bears hogged the ball for most of the game, but when you guys needed to, you got those two touchdowns?
It says a lot about our team, man. I mean, it just shows the resilience that we have. I mean, it's not easy to go out against. It's a good team. Doesn't matter what, how many games they lost in a row or whatever it was, you know, when they hit a tough spot in the season. But you look around, they got a, they got really good personnel. They got a quarterback who doesn't get a whole lot of respect, but he can create and he can do a lot of different things, you know, that make it tough to go against, especially when, you know, it starts getting late in those games. You know, my hat's off to our defense for being able to step up in some of those situations because, you know, it's one thing to be locked down on the outside, but then to be able to contain a scrambling quarterback as well, I feel like that's tough to do, especially when they know that they got to win the game, which didn't end up being that way for them because they end up getting some help. But in their mind, they're thinking that, you know, if we lose, we're out. So for them to have that mindset and us to go out and still be able to dominate, it says a lot about this team.
Jason Wilde.
Devontae, I know you love the two questions at once, so I'm going to do that for you. One, do you feel like this game was decided in the red zone or the gold zone for you guys? They had to settle for field goals a bunch, and you guys got the job done. And then what kind of statement do you think your quarterback made on the MVP front today?
MVP should be locked up. There's nothing else to really talk about. You look at what we've done and what he's been able to do. You know, and they've hit him with everything, said that he doesn't have any weapons. And then we go out here and go 13-3 regular season, which isn't our end goal, obviously, but it's a hell of an accomplishment, especially when you in your second year with a new staff. So it says a lot about him. You know, I could talk all day about his MVP, you know, his push and all of that, but I think he's a lot of his play to step up and do that. And obviously, honestly, there's been a few other plays where it would have cemented it even more. Had we made a couple more plays for him where, you know, he made a great ball and, you know, we came up short. But, yeah, it's pretty clear. It's pretty clear to me who the MVP of the season is. And it's going to be a person who, you know, he's won a couple of them before.
Packers receiver Devontae Adams. Elsewhere around the league, it was the Saints and the Panthers. New Orleans looking for something big.
Brees fakes the handoff, looks to throw over the middle. Touchdown! Right down the center of the field. Adam Troutman? Help me out, Deuce. I can't see the number. No, it's Austin Carr.
Play-by-play courtesy of WWL Radio in New Orleans. The final score, Saints over the Panthers, 33-7. New Orleans finishes their season 12-4. In the Arizona desert, the 49ers, they concluded their run as desert dwellers. Of course, unable to play in Santa Clara, California because of COVID restrictions in that county. 49ers are taking on the Seahawks.
Russell goes from the shotgun, just a four-man rush. Russell looks, now he's got a scramble, now he gets hit, breaks away, has some room, now he fires a shot, it's caught in the back of the end zone, touchdown, Seahawks, Tyler Lockett.
Play-by-play courtesy of Cairo, K-I-R-O Radio in Seattle. The Seahawks dump the Niners 26-23, the Seahawks 12-4 to end their season. Meanwhile, in Tampa, it was the Buccaneers playing host to the Falcons.
Brady takes the snap, third down and goal. Looks, Coxia, park off, touchdown Tampa Bay. Chris Godwin's got two today.
Play-by-play courtesy of WXTB Radio in Tampa. The final score, Buccaneers 44, Falcons 27. Tampa Bay 11 wins in a season for the first time since 2005. Meanwhile, in Inglewood, California, it was the Rams playing host to the Cardinals.
As the snap, the Rams send four. He's hit as he throws. It's tipped. It is caught. It is intercepted. Troy Hill, the 20, down the left sideline. He hits midfield and cuts to his right into space. Troy Hill at the 20. Troy Hill at the 10, stumbling to pay dirt. A pick six to end the half.
Play-by-play courtesy of KSBN Radio in Los Angeles. The final score, 18-7. The Rams beat the Cardinals, eliminating Arizona from playoff contention. The Rams at 10-6 clinch a playoff berth. Elsewhere, it was the Eagles playing host to Washington.
Smith takes the snaps. Eagles only bring four this time. Smith to the center of the end zone, and what a catch by Logan Thomas. Touchdown! Touchdown, Washington!
Play-by-play courtesy of WJFK Radio in D.C. Final score 20-14. Washington wins at Philadelphia. football team. They clinched the NFC East, the Washington football team, with just a 7-9 record. Philadelphia, they finished their season 4-11-1. Meanwhile, in Buffalo, the Bills look to put a hurt on the Dolphins.
The snap, Josh Allen. Flag goes down at the snap. Josh takes a long time, looks into the end zone. McKenzie's there. It is caught. Touchdown. It is Isaiah McKenzie again. A 15-yard pickup.
Play-by-play courtesy of WGR Radio in Buffalo. The Bills clinched the number 2 seed. It's their highest playoff seed since 1993. They also went to the Super Bowl in 1993 as well. Final score 56-26. Buffalo just mauls Miami. And in Cleveland, say it with me. The Browns are a playoff team?
12,000 are going crazy inside First Energy Stadium. And wherever you are, this is starting to become very, very real that the Browns are going to go to the playoff. They're in victory formation, and Baker Mayfield takes a knee, and the clock will wind down. An amazing story. The Browns will get their 11th win of the year. They'll go to 11-5, and they're going to the playoffs. Unbelievable. What a season. The team's off the sideline congratulating. They could meet each other next weekend at Heinz Field, and the ball game is over, and the Cleveland Browns have made it into the NFL playoffs for the first time in 18 long years.
Play-by-play courtesy of WKNR Radio in Cleveland. Yes, the Browns clinch a playoff berth for the first time since 2002. 18 seasons of frustration, 18 seasons of the factory of sadness. It's all in the rearview mirror as Cleveland finishes the regular season 11-5. They beat the Steelers. They are not playing good football at the end of the year. Losers of 4 of their last 5. The final score 24-22. Cleveland with the win at home over Pittsburgh. All right. Resetting, taking a look at how things ended the regular season in the NFC. These are your playoff participants in order. You already know that the Packers are the number one seed with a 13-3 record. Then it's two teams with identical 12-4 records, but because of the tiebreaker, the Saints are the number 2 seed. The Seahawks are the number 3 seed. Then, because they are a division winner, despite being 7-9 on the season, the Washington football team, they are your number 4 seed. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, one of your wild cards at 11-5. They are your number 5 seed. The number 6 seed in the NFC, the 10-6 Los Angeles Rams. And the final team squeaking their way into the playoffs, your number 7 seed, Chicago Bears at 8-8. They win the tiebreaker over Arizona. The Cardinals also 8-8, but they are out of the playoffs looking in. Over in the AFC, the Kansas City Chiefs, it was decided a couple of weeks ago that they were going to be the number 1 seed. Kind of showed in their play this weekend. Nothing was on the line for them. They finished their regular season 14-2. The rest of the AFC, there's a lot of parity here because the Buffalo Bills, 13-3, your number 2 seed, followed by the Steelers at 12-4, your number 3 seed, and then everybody else is 11-5 that's going to the playoffs in the AFC. The Titans, they're your number 4 seed as a division winner, but your 3 wild card teams, the Ravens, Browns, and Colts, in that order, numbers 5, 6, and 7 in the AFC, they're all 11-5 as well. The Miami Dolphins at 10-6 on the outside of the playoffs looking in. All right, so they're calling this Super Wild Card Weekend coming up. It's kind of like the prelude to the Super Bowl, I guess. I don't know. But they're calling it Super Wild Card Weekend, and here's the schedule. It starts on Saturday. 3 games on Saturday, 3 games on Sunday. These are all Central times, all Wisconsin times. So you can set your DVRs as you wish. You can set your viewing habits as you wish. But this is going to be a great weekend of great football, and you don't have to sweat out the Packers this weekend because they're already through to the divisional round. Coming up on Saturday, this Saturday, January 9th, on CBS, noon kickoff, the Colts take on the Bills in Buffalo. That'll be followed up at about 3:40 with the Rams and the Seahawks from Seattle. Then the primetime game, around 7:15, it'll be the Buccaneers at Washington, taking on the Washington football team. So those are the 3 games on Saturday. On Sunday, same times, 1205, 340, 715 in this order. It'll be the Ravens taking on the Titans. That's the early game on ESPN. The middle game between the Bears and the Saints. That's on CBS again at 340. And then in primetime, Sunday Night Football, NBC, Browns, Steelers. That's going to be a good, good weekend of football. And it's one of my favorite weekends of the sports calendar. Now it's even amplified more because, again, there's nothing wrong with more football. And now instead of four games over the weekend, you've got six games over the weekend. And, man, it would be great to see the Packers playing this weekend because you want to have some juice in it. But it's also nice to not have to see them play this weekend knowing that they're on through to the divisional round already. Okay, one more NFL item. We've all heard about the MVP award, and basically it boils down to three candidates with one clear favorite. I'm going to get to that in a second. You know, one award that we haven't heard anything about this season is the Coach of the Year. And I don't know if it's going to be Matt LaFleur, but I don't know why it shouldn't be Matt LaFleur. This guy's gone 13-3, two seasons in a row. This is a guy who went to the NFC Championship game a year ago. We don't know what the Packers are going to do this season, but I know that this is the highest octane offense I've ever seen in Green Bay. This is the best any quarterback, and Aaron Rodgers, by the way, has been fantastic, obviously, throughout the course of his entire career, including in 2011. That may have been his finest season. I don't know that this one doesn't eclipse it. I know his quarterback rating was just a little bit higher in 2011 than it was this year. But more touchdown passes and just seemingly playing with a lot more joy this year. And I think a lot of that has to do with Matt LaFleur. So I know that there's going to be some worthy candidates. I know Pete Carroll is a worthy candidate. I know that Sean Payton is a worthy candidate. I know that Ron Rivera is a very worthy candidate, as much for the personal story as kind of persevering this football team, his football team, the Washington football team, into the playoffs, despite their 7-9 record. Andy Reid, obviously a candidate for Coach of the Year. You look at what Sean McDermott did this year in Buffalo. He might be the front runner. I don't know. But I don't know that it shouldn't be Matt LaFleur. He's done a tremendous job as Packers head coach, so I would love to see him at least get some consideration for it, if not win the award outright. All right, back to the MVP. It boils down to three candidates, with obviously Aaron Rodgers as the clear favorite. So here are Aaron Rodgers' numbers compared to Patrick Mahomes' numbers. Aaron Rodgers, 48 touchdowns to 5 interceptions. Patrick Mahomes, 38 touchdowns to 6 interceptions. So Aaron has 10 more touchdown passes and one fewer interception than Patrick Mahomes. Quarterback rating of 121.5. That is the second highest quarterback rating of all time. Highest, of course, as I just kind of alluded to, it was his own record in 2011. So Aaron Rodgers has the highest quarterback rating in a season, and then the second highest quarterback rating in a season as well. Also, almost 4,300 yards, seventh, in the NFL. Patrick Mahomes, more yards, almost 4,800, so about 500 yards more than Aaron Rodgers. Mahomes, second in the NFL behind only Deshaun Watson. The other candidate that I have that I don't think anybody's really talking about, and maybe they should be talking about it, is Derrick Henry. He is going to get jobbed for the NFL MVP award. And when I say jobbed, I don't mean like he deserved it over Aaron Rodgers, because I don't think that he did. But in any other season, I think Derrick Henry is probably a runaway winner for NFL MVP. Over 2,000 yards this season in the most trying season perhaps in NFL history. So 2,027 yards. That is 470 yards more than the next guy. Think about that. He's so far ahead of the pace of Dalvin Cook and then the rest of the NFL as well. It's absurd. 17 touchdown runs this year for Derrick Henry. So he's tough. He's an every down back. He's got a nose for the end zone. He rips off long runs. He's been incredible this year. And again, if it were just about any other year, Derrick Henry defines what value is for the Tennessee Titans. I mean, this was a team that was 11-5, so he obviously played not only for a contender, but a division winner as well. The Packers were able to, I wouldn't say bottle him up, because Derrick Henry is always going to get his, but he got 98 yards against the Packers a couple of weeks ago. I mean, that was, I guess, what we would call a quiet 98 yards. It was a 98 yards that didn't destroy the Packers. But again, he's a guy who's always going to get his. So obviously, I think Aaron Rodgers is going to win his third NFL MVP. Patrick Mahomes will not win his second, at least not this year. He will get a second some year, I promise, and probably a third and maybe a fourth and possibly a fifth. He's that special. He's that good. He's that talented. But I think Aaron was just a little bit better this year. And then Derrick Henry, man, what can you say about him? He was just fantastic this past season. One final note, the NCAA tournament will be an Indiana affair in 2021. ESPN's Myron Metcalf.
NCAA officials announced today that they will have an all-inclusive tournament, all 68 teams playing in one city, Indianapolis and the surrounding areas. You'll have multiple venues in Indianapolis, including Lucas Oil Stadium, but also as far as West Lafayette, where Purdue plays, Mackey Arena, Indiana Assembly Hall. Those will also be host of games during this unique NCAA tournament. No word yet on whether or not we'll have fans, but family members of coaches and student athletes will be in attendance.
ESPN's Myron Metcalf. Look, I don't care if the entire tournament is held in Indiana. I don't care if it's held in a high school gym. I don't care if the stands are empty. This was about the time last year when the world shut down. It was right before the NCAA tournament. It was actually during the conference basketball tournaments. And it was decided pretty quickly that the NCAA really couldn't have their tournament. The NBA shut down. Major League Baseball shut down their spring training sites. Everything just kind of came to a complete halt. So as the vaccines are now here, we're starting to get back to something that more resembles normal. We're not there yet. We're not going to get there tomorrow. We're not going to get there by the end of January. We're not going to get there by the end of February. We may not get there by the end of March, but at least we'll have March Madness. And that's just another sign that things are starting to come back. Things are starting to get back to normal. So I applaud the NCAA for doing what they have to do. All right, coming up later this week, former UW Whitewater football coach. He won 6 national championships at Division III Whitewater. For the last 6 seasons, he's been the current head football coach at the University of Buffalo. The last couple of years, they've won their bowl game in FBS. They were ranked for the first time ever this past season. Football coach Lance Leipold will join us here on the Doug Russell Podcast. I hope you will, too. Have a great week. We'll talk to you soon.